I've wanted to try to put something together which started with quite a fragile, exposed acoustic guitar playing in sort of style of a poor man's Bure by Bach, that sort of aspect. As far as the instrumentation goes, there are going to be there's recorders to the early part, which gives it a sort of slightly medieval feel. That was an idea of John Paul Jones's, to put the recorders on, and he played the recorders. When I actually had the idea for Stairway, that wasn't necessary. I wasn't thinking recorders. I was thinking more the texture of actually the electric piano. The idea of Stairway was to have a piece of music, a composition, whereby it would just keep unfolding into more layers and more moods, and actually the whole intensity of the, or subtlety and the intensity, of the overlay of the composition would actually accelerate as it went through on every level, every emotional level, every musical level, and so it just keeps opening up as it continues through its sort of passage.
Say what ho, this is Brian. I know where that jive is at, Gardner. Coming to you from Ramble On Towers, Dungeon Studio in Scenic, Hespler, Ontario. I think I have to bring my mic closer. Can you guys hear me okay? I don't know what this is tough because I got everything around me here. Let me see if I can do it so that I can still give the YouTube guys a show. Problem is, now I got nowhere to put my coffee. With the old Jimmy Page mug and stuff. Not to block out the YouTube guys, anyway. There we go. Okay, so where was I at? I know where that jive is at, Gardner. Coming to you from Ramble On Towers. The servants' quarters. Under the stairs, as it were. Although I'm not in the servants' quarters under the stairs. Listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 74. Ramble On Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news and any links I mentioned during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. Where was I? It helps with our placement. It helps with if you leave a review, it helps them to notice us, and that's always a good thing. Listen on Spreaker. That's SPREAKER.com. Spreaker. And be sure to follow me on Spreaker. And if everybody watching this on YouTube, everybody listens to this on iTunes, just go to Spreaker, set up an account, follow me. And then what I can do is apply to be on iHeartRadio. But you need like 100 followers before they'll seriously look at you. Or check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Hi, YouTube guys. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and Ramble On at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. I do try to respond to people's comments and whatnot in those. Facebook one I use probably more than anything. Twitter I'm kind of trying to start to use more. Twitter scares me because I know it's the crack cocaine of social media, and I don't want to go down that Twitter hole, as it were. So that's but anyway. We got all the YouTube videos updated. I missed last week, large part because, my plans didn't fall into place. Old Jimmy Page's book is not making it to people's houses in any kind of a speedy. It was supposed to be here a week ago. 9 days ago, I think. Now, last Tuesday was the day. It's still not available in Canada. You can't go to the bookstore and buy it in Canada. It certainly hasn't come. I've canceled my pre-order because I didn't buy the pre-order so I could get it whenever they feel like sending it to me. I bought the pre-order so I could get it on or before the day is really the reason to pre-order, because otherwise I'll just go to the store and buy the damn thing. And it looks at this stage like I'm so peeved with the Canadian, and there's one Canadian bookstore. There really is one. So I'm going to be in the States in about 8-10 days next weekend for Jimmy Page in New York City. I'm just going to buy it in the States. Screw Chapters. You're not getting that $70. And the same thing will happen with the box sets and the LPs. It happened with the last set of LPs. They didn't make, they were a month, month and a half behind before they got to Canada. The box sets were, there was like one or two in the stores and that was it for a long time. The CDs were plentiful, but that was about it. So I didn't really have anything to talk about because I wasn't ready with the Robert Plant book. I'm still not quite ready with the Robert Plant book, to be honest, but we'll get into it a bit today. Then I realized this week, and I sat down and I made, you know, earlier this year, I kind of went through and made a whole list of stuff that's upcoming. Anniversaries, 5 and 10 years, you know, over the course of the year. So that's why I was on top of the Diamanda Gallus being 20 years or whatever it was. The Black Crows, 15 years. That's, I was on top of that because I sat and made a list and I missed Led Zeppelin 2, which was released yesterday. Yesterday. 45 years ago. 45 years young is Led Zeppelin 2. And it still sounds young and fresh at times. So I could have talked about that last week. But we are going to talk about that this week, plus the Robert Plant book. I'll get into that a bit. A bunch of little stuff to cover first. You listened to the intro. Was Jimmy Page explaining how they came to write Stairway to Heaven. You just got a couple of the snippets. He listens to the whole song and talks as he comes up with, as he thinks of stuff. He talks it over. So, it's worthwhile digging up. Just Google Jimmy Page explains Stairway to Heaven. You'll get the video. And it should work fine for you. And it's worth watching the whole thing. And as I told the YouTube guys, because I couldn't play that bit on YouTube. You know, it's there. Just look it up. Easy enough. Okay. Hey, our friend Dave Lewis has had a problem. His mode of transportation is bicycle. This is, by the way, is Thursday, October 23rd. I'm going to reference the date specifically. So yesterday was Led Zeppelin 2 45th anniversary. The same day, 45 years later, Dave Lewis gets his bike stolen. Coincidence? Yeah, probably. So Dave's... it's what Dave had. Dave gets around. He rides himself to the train station and takes the train places. Or he's off on his bike. And it's his trusty bicycle has been stolen. Now people are already chipping in to help get him some new wheels. If you go to his webpage and kind of do the buy the magazine, I think you can figure out a way to donate. If you get to his email address, DaveLewis@tblweb.com or something like that, you can. I've been trying to look it up myself on PayPal because I have paid him through PayPal before. But I'm not able to kind of dig it up. I wanted to have it for you. But if you look around, you'll probably figure out a way to send him money via PayPal. On the other hand, there's a new Deborah Bonham album out called Spirit. I actually wasn't even aware of this until this issue came up. Robert Plant plays harmonica on the song Spirit. Paul Rodgers duets on Duchess. And Jason Bonham plays drum on Old Hyde. And Deborah Bonham's a hell of a singer. So don't be, and it's £10. Now I had here in Canada, it came to $17 or something like that. Once you put postage and stuff in. But that's it. 10. So it's 50. I think it was, I forget what it was, but, was it £15 shipping in? That's gotta be right. So it must've been $27 what I ended up paying. And £5 they're going to send to Dave for a new bike. And as of immediately speaking, 12:39 on Thursday, October 23rd, they had 10 pounds already that method. And I'm going to figure out a way to get another 10 pounds to Dave. And speaking of Dave, yesterday he was in London at the Paul Smith Gallery where they were debuting the Led Zeppelin scarves. Now, if you're thinking, oh, that'd be nice. Love a scarf? Need a scarf? Know that they are $700 395 pounds. That's more than $700 Canadian. That's 711 or something. Probably closer to 680 or something like that in the U.S., but it's... British pounds has gone up, actually. I was there last summer. It was close to 240, 250. It didn't really... Or 140, 150, sorry. It had really dropped. It's now back up 180 to the Canadian dollar. So it's... stuff from Britain's getting expensive again. For a little while there, it was kind of nice. However, even at $1.40 on the pound, 395 pounds, a lot of money for it. Now, they're probably nice silk scarves. They're artistically done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lovely scarves, I'm sure. I'm sure they look fabulous. And they're big. They're like a flag, right? And then you roll, fold it up and wrap it like a scarf. It's kind of got the color through it, and it wears differently than it looks when you fold it out, right? I'm sure they're lovely. I'm sure they look great on you. But I don't have a lot of places I could wear a $700 scarf to. And I'm sure Target will have them 2 years from now. The same scarves will be available at Target for $40. If Jimmy's book is anything to go by, right? First you get the expensive version out there. Then you get the cheaper version out. I do hope that's the case, because I wouldn't mind having one. But it's got to be nice, and it's got to be at a price point that's doable. And 395 pounds just isn't a doable price point. Just like that kind of money, was it 600 pounds, whatever, for the book, was not a doable price point for me personally. There's been a lot of interviews. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm way behind in the interviews and I can't keep up with it. And I tried this way. I kind of got a message on Facebook from Wyatt. He said, you know, maybe people would like to hear what you think of the interviews, though. And I've tried. There's so many of them, and they're long interviews. They're not 10-minute interviews here and there. So I've read a few. I'm more inclined to read interviews than watch interviews or listen to interviews, just because I don't sit still that long when I'm at home. If I have it to read, I can kind of, when I'm out and about, it's the way the world works for me. I'm afraid that's when I get time to stop, or I curl into bed with whatever reading material, and I'll read it. But I don't tend to kind of sit and watch videos for hours on end. And if I do, they tend to have James Bond in them. So I give it a go, and they're out there. Look around. But there was one last week, and I got the headline, not the so, you know, I might have got it wrong. But Jimmy says he doesn't want to be in a Led Zeppelin tribute band. And hold on to your hats, people. I might be sticking up for Robert here. Hold on, everybody. I'm still not listening to the record, but hold on a minute. Hold on, I might go there. So Jimmy says he doesn't want to play in a Led Zeppelin tribute band. And what he means, I think I gather what he meant by it was go out with John Paul Jones and Jason Bonham and somebody else. And it would be a tribute band. Oh, and of course, that would kind of exclude my idea of, you know, Jimmy and John Paul Jones and three singers and two drummers and another guy to play, pick up some of the guitar parts or bass parts or keyboard parts as required. You know, and call it not Led Zeppelin, but Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones presents an evening of Led Zeppelin. Much like Dennis DeYoung is currently doing. Dennis DeYoung presents the music of Styx. And I also seen the guy from Supertramp has been around a lot, actually, in the last couple of years. And he's still around doing, you know, presents the music of Supertramp. And the music of Supertramp or something like that. And Rick Hodgson, right? Yeah, Rick Hodgson. And the music of Supertramp or something. So he's not out as Supertramp, he's out as Rick Hodgson, but you're getting that. And so I gather that Jimmy's saying he doesn't want to do that. But here's the question. Isn't that Robert's position? Isn't that exactly Robert's position? The only different point being that Robert says we'd be a tribute band even with me in it. Even if it's me, you, John Paul Jones, and Jason, we're still nothing but a tribute band. That's principally Robert's position, is it not? And isn't he right? Even if they recorded new material, even if they went out and played that new material, They would still, we would, let's face it, we're not going there to hear some new song. They will be bitching on the things going, are you fucking kidding? They didn't play X, Y, Z, but they played that from the new album. Maybe three songs from the new album would be acceptable. But that's it, right? Nobody would be wanting to hear the whole new album. Are you kidding me? You didn't play The Ocean? Or you didn't play Black Dog because... Or Stairway to Heaven, which Robert hates, because you had to slide this new song. You know what I mean? All those bands doing this are, in essence, a tribute. And that's been Robert Plant's position all along. He words it poorly, I think. He talks about it. He doesn't want to do cabaret is a line he uses a lot. But principally, that's what he means, right? I want to make new music. I want to put out the new music. I want to do the new music. And yes, he surrounds it with half the songs he does are still Led Zeppelin songs. Mashed up and butchered up and bastardized, etc., etc. But that's what he's doing. He's, you know, if it was a Led Zeppelin album, his new album is Led Zeppelin. And he was going out doing 50% the new album with Led Zeppelin. And 50% of the show was old songs. 50% was the new songs. Holy shit, would be up in arms, wouldn't we? Holy, because yeah, I don't want to hear. Even if it was a great album, you'd be going, it's not what I came to hear. It's not that way anymore. It's just not. You know, nobody goes to see the Stones to hear whatever they put out recently. I was trying to remember the name of that one song. It was a bit of a hit a few years back, but. I seen Elton John last, and he was tributing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. He was doing that, and he played 6 or 8 songs off that album alone, plus a good chunk of hits. Yeah, he threw in 1 or 2 newy stuff. I don't think anything too new. But, you know, so it is Robert's position. He doesn't want to be in a tribute band. It's Jimmy's position. They don't want to be a tribute band. And even if, let's face reality here. Even if, let's imagine a world in which John Bonham didn't die. However, 1980 Led Zeppelin still split up. Since 1980 from now, nothing's different. They've played together, except John Bonham's alive. Okay? They've played together at Live Aid. They played together at Atlantic's 40th anniversary show. They played together at Jason's wedding. And they played together, then they did the big gig. It was a disaster. Who knows? Nobody actually has a recording. And it was a great show. They put out an album, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so nothing's changed. The music was more or less the same. Everything's the same. Aren't they still, at this stage, a tribute band? Because Led Zeppelin were a working band. They were guys, and I read in a guitar article interview at one point, Jimmy Page talking about his guitars and this, like he did this to it, and they wired this up, and he's got these 57 Les Pauls that are now worth, to buy one of these guitars, even not played by Jimmy Page, is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he was drilling into them, shaving the necks. Well, but he says, we didn't think of that. I was a working musician. I needed an instrument that worked. They were a working band. That created on the fly, that created on the road, that got together and recorded and wrote together, and they were a functioning, working unit. The last 30 years, that's not been true. It's not been. And if nothing else changed, if John Bonham's still alive, but nothing else changed, that's still the truth, which makes them a tribute band when they go out together. Right? Am I off? So, really, what's different between Jimmy's position and Robert's position, except Robert recognizes that last point, and Jimmy doesn't. Jimmy thinks, if it's the three of us plus Jason, we're not a tribute band, we're the actual band. Robert's saying, no, we're still a tribute band. We may be a better tribute band, but we're still a tribute band. So some props, I guess, must go to Robert. For recognizing that point. And if that's not what Jimmy wants to do, then it's time to move on and do something else. Seems weird to say, yeah, hey, move on, dude. It's only been 40 years.
So,
yeah. So there you go. By the way, Jimmy's working on new music. Okay, let's go to Led Zeppelin 2, and then I'll get to the book. Led Zeppelin 2, here we go, folks. Cassette, 8-track, and LP. How's this? And I think I've run this line before, but when talking about Led Zeppelin 1, I talked about announcing your presence with authority. Good times, bad times. How about Whole Lot of Love is Waiting? That's your presence with authority. Holy jumping, that's the start of an album, isn't it? That's kind of a, that's a, put it on the turntable the first time. Holy fuck. Holy poopers, I should say. Not that other word that gets me an adulterating. So here's the set list for it. A Whole Lot of Love, What Is and What Should Never Be, The Lemon Song, Thank You. Heartbreaker, Living Loving Maid, Ramble On, Moby Dick, and Bring It On Home. It is interesting that even today when Robert's out doing his stuff, and he does, you know, a 20-song set, and 10 of them are Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love, Ramble On, and Thank You recently has made the set list. Those songs are likely to be there. And didn't he do What Is and What Should Never Be in a fairly recent tour as well? I don't remember, but definitely the three get a lot, still get play in Robert Plant. So out of, you know, maybe 9 Zeppelin songs he'll do in a night, 3 could be from this album. Led Zeppelin 2. Did I do side 2? Side 2, Heartbreaker, Living Loving Maid, Ramble On, Moby Dick, and Bring It On Home. Yeah, I did. Comparatively, by the way, the 8-track, one of my favorite games to play, the 8-track starts with Whole Lot of Love to Thank You. Whole Lot of Love, Thank You. Then The Lemon Song, then Heartbreaker. That's all over the place. Whole Lot of Love, Thank You. What Is and What Should Never Be. So side 1's now complete. Living Loving Maid, Ramble On Part 1. Because that's the way 8-tracks work. Kids. What happened was, there's a the head, there's 8 tracks on this. Right and left, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Big thick tape. And the head read 2 at a time, and then it would hit a piece of metallic tape and move, and you get a click. And then, so they would fade the song out, fade the song back in at the, after the click. It happened. It happens on this. Ramble On, Part 1, Part 2. Moby Dick and Bring It On Home. So it ends as it begins. Yeah, Living Loving Maid, Ramble On, Moby Dick, Bring It On Home. It's just the first 5 songs they mess around. Right? Thank You, a Whole Lot of Love, Thank You. And that's timing. That's because the tracks are, whatever. The album's going to be 40 minutes long, so each track's 10 minutes. So look, these two make 5, these two make 5, and you only have to split Ramble On. It's the only one you have to do the weird splitty thing on. That's why they do that, by the way. On the cassette... There you go. Look at that. Whole Lot of Love, What Is and What Should Never Be, The Lemon Song, Bring It On Home, Heartbreaker, Living Loving Maid, Ramble On, Moby Dick, and Thank You. So Bring It On Home and Thank You have been moved on the cassette version. There you go, folks. By the way, that's a 1980s version cassette, I think, not a 1969. They did exist in 1969, kids. They did exist. And that's a cassette. Some of you young folks may not even know what they are. They did exist in 69, but they were awful quality. And it wasn't until about the 1980s. My first kind of tape player, whatever, was in fact a cassette player. It was a radio with cassettes, and I used to tape songs off the radio when I was about 12, so we're talking 75. Ignore the funny sound. It's the recycling guys picking up our garbage outside. So this is, people talk about this album changed music. This is the first heavy metal album, etc. This, but you look at, this is the album with Whole Lot of Love and Heartbreaker on it. I was listening to a sports radio show last week, and they bumpered in with Ramble On, the beginning. And the host says, who's an old crotchety moron sometimes, says, oh, look, it's the elevator music. And the co-host says, it's Led Zeppelin. It's not elevator music. This guy, by the way, is a YouTube fan. But, you know, Led Zeppelin's elevator music in his weird, twisted world. But Ramble On is, I mean, it just starts, it's never elevator music. Let's face reality. Anybody with any depth of musical knowledge understands that. But it's softer for certain. As is What Is and What Should Never Be has the most fundamentally beautiful slide guitar solo I know of. I love slide guitar, and when I write music, I'm always throwing in, which I don't do a lot anymore, by the way, and don't ask me to send, so I don't have any. But if for years, I've always, almost every song has a slide solo in it, and I'm not very good at it. And that's what I'm trying to hit, though, is that What Is and What Should Never Be. It's such a stunningly beautiful solo. He nails something, and I don't mean beautiful in the melodic, pretty, see Eric Clapton song, Wonderful Tonight, not that way. It's more in the feeling it creates, and it's a fundamental exercise in Jimmy Page's light and shade, right? It's soft, it's quiet. It's an electric guitar with tons of distortion, and it's not really melodic, but it comes across as an extremely pretty little solo. There's a lot of light and shade in that solo itself. And the same goes for Ramble On. Ramble On's got so many shades coming in and going, and the volume comes up and the volume goes down. It's almost a precursor in a way to Stairway to Heaven. That's a bad example maybe, but in that, I mean, it goes acoustic, electric. The volume goes up, the volume swells, and if you listen to the end of it, it's just so much weird stuff going on at the end, and it's, well, that's no elevator music. I've never been in no elevator like that, I'll tell you. it's something. Bring It On, I've always loved Bring It On Home, too. Bring It On Home was one I don't have the book with me today, because I live a fundamentally messy life and I can't find things when I need them. But I have the music book, I have the sheet music book from Led Zeppelin 2. No tab for you guys, you kids again. Back in the 70s, we didn't have the tab. You just got basically the piano music books, with stamps of the chords over top, and which of course is wonderfully useless in a Led Zeppelin book. I really don't think they're playing that E chord, a lot of love or something, you know. Bring It On Home was when I was able to kind of fart through the music and figure out what he was playing and loved. It was the first time I actually played that kind of a blues lick. And even the lick itself, now I was going E-A-E on the, instead of the, it's hard to explain, but he goes E-A-E on the, on the verses, but not a standard EAE. It's a really cool little way of doing it, actually. Anyway, I don't almost don't know what to say. This is like, to you people listening, especially, this is self-explanatory, right? Led Zeppelin 2 is Led Zeppelin 2. It's a phenomenal album. It's a groundbreaking album. There's not a bad song. I don't know. I mean, I could live without Moby Dick, because I could live without drum solos always, even John Bonham drum solos. Although Moby Dick's not offensive, it's not the worst of these sorts of things by any stretch. And really, it's shortish, so it's not like it's a 40-minute version or something. Yeah, he does a 2-minute little drum bit, so you can live with that. But I've been showing everything. I do the CDs in the car. I bought the updated CD, right? So it's in the car. And you guys remember, we talked about that a bit. How I ripped their racks because I didn't want the deluxe edition. Oh, the deluxe editions. Yes. That's something we need to talk about. They have leaked. Led Zeppelin 4 and House of the Holy have leaked. They leaked last weekend. If you've had the chance to get them, they're listenable now in high def FLAC and MP3s. They're out there. And I'm gonna wait till next week to talk about them very much, except to say I was way more impressed with House of the Holy than Four, and both of them basically redo the album in different mixes. Basically what happens. And just yesterday I think they released the Stairway to Heaven version of the remix, the Sunset Sound remix, it's called. I have to do my research a bit for next week on this. But here's what really happened. They took the final tapes to LA, to Sunset Sound Studios, and remixed them. And then they brought them back to London, put them on at, I think it was Olympia Studios. This is the bits I got to research. And the band listened to it. Well, what the hell's wrong with it? Something sounds awful. So they remixed them in London. And that's what got released. But the remixes from Sunset Sound are fine. And it sounds like Sunset Sound was so advanced for its time that the equipment they put it on back in London couldn't handle the, or whatever. Whereas nowadays, with the equipment we have on our phones, can handle it. Just the way it works. That's the progress of the thing. But something long weird happened anyway, and it didn't. The only thing that made it from the Sunset Sound onto the original album was When the Levee Breaks. Now, so they've released three or four of the Sunset Sound mixes. It's exact same song. Exact same. All the same tracks, the same guitar solo, the same vocal track. Nothing's changed. Nothing. Except they mixed it in a different... Oh, I just got weirded out in here. Gotta take off the headphones. So the Sunset Sound is really the exact same. And the differences are so subtle. Oh, the guitar's a little softer than the keyboard. There's really not a lot there. Not a lot of meat there. And When the Levee Breaks, they did... the London mix they included. Now, there is a different mix of Black Dog, which we've all heard. It's been out for a while. There is a different mix of... And then there's the acoustic version only, the acoustic instruments, no vocals for Black Country. What I want to say, Battle of Evermore and Going to California. That's what you're getting on those, which is interesting, but it's a bit of a one-off listen. If you're in a Zeppelin tribute band, it's going to be handy. There is no denying that. Hey, YouTube guys, sorry, I'm kind of getting the sun in my eyes and stuff here. And I'm also sorting out my book. I have a few quotes. I have not reread the book in its entirety, and I need to do. I had put it aside because there was discussion of getting an upgraded version, which I didn't get. There was discussion about getting an interview with... I'm gonna go right to the beginning. With Dave Thompson, and that doesn't sound like it's materializing. So, I'm a little late getting back to this book. So, look in the next week, and I'll mention next week. I'll try to remember to mention next week whether I did. I got to get a review up probably this weekend, and I'll be as comprehensive as I can on it. But the book is called Robert Plant: The Voice That Sailed the Zeppelin. Go to RambleOnRadio.com, click on the sidebar at Amazon.com. You can buy it there. And a few of those pennies that you spent will wind up here, which, I would say I'll buy a bicycle. But actually, I do need a bike. I ride the bike a lot. I only have I have what they call a hybrid. I need a road bike. But don't worry about that. Really, if you guys were going to drop a bunch of... I need some way to record this video wise. I need a good video camera that goes direct to YouTube or something. anyway, I want to one of the, I like this book a lot. I think he gets the essence of Robert Plant very well. He ignores the stories, the crap stories. And I wonder if I can get... He actually says... something along the lines of, you know, all those stories about the band on the road, the shark, and people who've listened a long time know I have no patience for books that cover the shark story. The mud shark or red snapper or whatever it was. He puts into question whether it was actually anyone on Led Zeppelin, and that's been questioned before. The guys have been able to fudge, say it was them. Some people say it was the roadies. But he talks about, you know, these stories are interchangeable between bands. And, you know, young man on the road, bored, being idolized, and having women throw at themselves act badly. They did so in the 60s, they did so in the 70s, they did so in the 80s, 90s, and they do so today. So stories about the debauchery of the road are really... there's nothing unique about Led Zeppelin in the debauchery. The details may change, but the stories themselves are fundamentally the same, right? And there's only one way to screw a woman, right? and at the end of the day, that amounts to what they amount to. So, I think he gets some stuff fundamentally wrong, though, too. He talks about Plant moving on. I don't know. I have to find my quotes. I have some quotes dug up. And this is a way more interesting way to go, I think. But so Dave's—he's not looking at Robert Plant. What did he do on September 2nd? This is what he did on whatever, right? He's more looking at why did he do it and how did that feel, and so he's almost psychoanalyzing him a little. And I think he gets a lot of stuff fundamentally wrong to start with. And I'm going to go with this one. The fan club is bitterly divided over whether he's best referred to as a Viking warrior or Greek god. Such things never mattered to him because he never lost sight of the reason why they mean so much to other people. It's the music that drew them to him in the first place. That's a bit of a crock. He was the guy who quoted himself as the golden god. So to say that never mattered to him is not true. That's not to suggest the music wasn't always important to him, right? Like this one, I thought was whether at the helm of Led Zeppelin, where it was, basically, generally Plant's lyrics set the mood of the music. Are you kidding me? Plant's lyrics often came last. The mood of the music was set long before. What Plant was remarkable at was writing, doing something that nobody else has been able to do, which is writing lyrics that fit what Jimmy Page writes. Not a small feat, by the way. I don't mean to diminish what Plant did. Okay, so here we go. I want to get into some of this stuff, though. Here's a number of quotes that kind of gets the essence of the book, of where he's coming from, right? It was John Bonham who sat next to him on the... This is after the death of Carrick Pendragon Plant, his son. It's John Bonham who sat next to him on the hastily arranged flight back to London, and then for the drive up to the farm. There the boy was buried at a funeral where Bonham was the only one of the singer's bandmates or management to even bother attending. There, too, Plant came as close as he ever had to swearing off rock and roll forever. His lifestyle, he knew, had already placed his marriage under incredible strain. The months he spent away touring, leaving Maureen to raise two children on her own. Now there was just one. Plant could not help but wonder whether things might have been different if he had been at home. Friends speak of the Stygian darkness that engulfed Plant then and how he considered applying for a teacher's college. Stygian, by the way, relating to the river Styx. Stygian. Almost a year would pass before he met with his bandmates in May 78 at Clearwell Castle, a gorgeous mock Gothic manor house in the heart of the Forest of Dean on the fringe of the Welsh border. Longer than that would elapse before he would forgive them for not attending Carrick's funeral. That's getting to the heart of Robert Plant, right there. And especially the line, and I've mentioned this before, Plant could not help wonder whether things would have been different if he had been at home. The Stygian darkness is a great line, by the way. I had to look up Stygian. and the bit about not forgiving the band for not attending Carrick's funeral is really understandable. Now, the very person who stood alongside, and this is a page later, now, the very person who stood alongside him throughout that terrible night, providing much of the glue with which he repaired his shattered psyche, had himself been taken away. And that's talking, of course, about John Bonham and his death. So you want to understand why Robert Plant won't reunite Led Zeppelin. That's a sentence there that kind of that walks you through a bit of it. Moving on a bit. This is talking about, so puttered around the barn after John's death and trying to find himself again. The things he lost were far more precious than those, and these were not only his son and best friend. He'd lost sight of the reason he was in the music industry in the first place, the simple joy of making music. There was a part here. I wanted to get to this. Mythologies are the beliefs that politics and religion try to suppress. Folklore is the story of the people, not their leaders. Rock and roll filled that same space and served that same purpose. A bit of a, where was rock and roll coming from in the day? But what he's really talking about is Robert Plant using the folklore within his writing, and how it was a more natural fit than it may seem. The Vikings and the war stories and whatnot. In that the folklore and the rock and roll music serve the same function within the society, and that is to be the folk stories, the story of the people. I have to figure out what I just wrote here. You get the picture? Do you get the picture? It's talking about Robert Plant as a person, as a writer, as an artist, from the angle of writer, person, artist, not as, so it's not, you know, it's not Keith Richards, Grandpa Gus taking me across the river to buy chips. It's more, why did Robert cross the road? Not who did he cross the road with, you know? I guess is a way of putting it. So I found this a really easy book to fall into, and it didn't trot over the same boring path. And when it did, it tried to take a different angle on them. Now I'm drawing such a blank on his name. This is terrible, isn't it? So I'm going to go back to the beginning here. I like Dave Thompson's writing a lot. I've said this before. There's a book out called I Hate New Music, The Classic Rock Manifesto, in which Dave opines that the death of good music happened somewhere in the neighborhood of 1978 with the massive sales of Boston, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, Frampton Comes Alive. Then at that point, the record companies became... and before that, they were record companies. They were about the record, emphasis on record. After that, they became emphasis on companies. They started to be run by accountants who saw nothing but the sales. And before that, they basically were about the records. You release, everybody makes a little money. You release the record, you let the artist do his thing, you release the record, and everybody makes a little money. After that, it became much more about making everybody makes money. And a lot less about letting the artist do what the artist do. So, I'm getting a weird echo out of my headphones. So I really like this guy's writing, and he's got a sense of humor about him. I think he's way off base on some stuff. For instance, Robert Plant's last five albums are better than any five albums in Robert Plant's career. Which is to say, Dreamlands, Mighty Rearranger, Raising Sand, Band of Joy, and Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar are better than, as a group of five in a row, better than the five in a row of Led Zeppelin 3, Led Zeppelin 4, House of the Holy, Physical Graffiti, and Presence. For that matter, better than 1, 2, 3, 4, and House of the Holy. I would tell you, I would go Physical Graffiti, Presence, In Through the Outdoor, Pictures at 11. Well, maybe you got to throw the Honey Drippers in on that one, though. But, you know, it's just not a defensible position. It really isn't. But he makes it. He really likes the new stuff. I don't. So that's where probably our point of difference on that. But I really think he gets to the heart of why Robert Plant won't continue on with Led Zeppelin. And, you know, and I sit here and I beef about Robert Plant a bit. But my bitch is not that he won't do Led Zeppelin. I don't care if he does it or not. He's more than welcome to not do it. It's more how he handles that that I find annoying. But I'm not going to go there. That's just an aside. For those who are sitting going, you're an asshole, dude. Who think that, who hear me week in, week out, and think that I dislike the fact that he won't get together with Led Zeppelin, that's not the point. The point is, I understand fully why he won't get, and that bit I just read about his son's funeral, John Bonham coming down, and now John Bonham is dead, that's at the heart of it. In my mind, it's and I've argued this long time back on this show, that's at the heart of it. And I think Dave Thompson tries to get at that heart with more depth and detail than I ever have. But ultimately, if you're a Robert Plant fan, you're Led Zeppelin. This is a really good book. This really looks at Robert Plant from a different angle, really looks at the band from a different angle. You will disagree almost guaranteed with some of his, at some point or another, you're going to disagree with some of his conclusions, whether it's the best five albums of his career or whether it's that Robert Plant sets the mood with his, or that The Battle of Evermore is the greatest set of lyrics ever written in a rock song. I think he goes there. Certainly thinks it's Robert Plant's best lyric. There'll be something you disagree with. It doesn't make it a bad book, and it is an excellent book. And I recommend this one highly. And I will be doing a comprehensive written review sometime in the next week, and I will try and mention that next week. But look for it on Ramble On Radio. And I'll get it out there. And as soon as I have the Jimmy Page book, I'll talk about it. I promise. I expect it'll be 2 weeks, because next week's going to be the remaster week. And the week after that, I will be in New York on the Monday seeing Jimmy. So probably I will cover Jimmy Page's book plus Jimmy Page Speaks at the 92nd Street Y together. And I may even try and do something special. I think these things, and I talk about these things, and then I never do them. So, but I may try and do something special. Get some guys together when we're in New York. Maybe after the talk, see if we can get four of us together in a bar and record it. So, hey, look, if you're going to the 92nd Street Y and that interests you, maybe that's something. Contact me. And I'll see if we can put something together. So that's it. That's it for this week, folks. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode number 74. Seat of the Pantsy, and we got through it quite nicely. And it's a beautiful sunny day. I am looking forward to getting out into it. I have to tell you the truth. It's a fall, cool fall day, but sunny, bright, beautiful, and it's going to be a nice one. I got to drive to a farm in the country, actually, so it's going to be nice. And then they got the Suns football game tonight, which is the ultimate fall activity. And he's doing really well in it. He's his senior year in high school. This is something Americans won't understand for sure, or even Brits, but he'll be doing a victory lap, which is a kind of a fifth year. And it's popular here. Even the university's looking at football players, like them to do the fifth year. It's popular. It helps kids get maybe boost one or two marks to get better chance to better university. And up until about 10 years ago, we had 5 years of high school. Grade 13, if you were going on to university, was required. They knocked that down, but the kind of mindset here is you really need 5 years to go to university. And I've been at parties and had these arguments. People say, no, they're too young, they're too young, they're too young to be off to university. And you go, you know, they're not too young after 4 years in high school everywhere else in the world. But people it's so ingrained in our in here in Ontario in the psyche that people do it. So he'll be doing a fifth year, and likely will be getting looked at by the local universities for his football playing, and we hope for his schooling as well. But anyway, that's tonight, big game tonight, big last game of the year, and two undefeated teams, etc., etc. Busy day ahead, and so thanks for listening. I'm glad I got this in. That's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 74. Check rambleonradio.com for notes in this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links I mentioned in today's podcast. For instance, if you go to the Facebook page, actually, I have a link to the Dave Lewis, the Deborah Bonham, and if I ever find, probably tomorrow sometime, I will try and find much later on tonight, I'll try and find his PayPal account address, and we'll go from there. And I will try and get that on the page, as well as the full review of the Robert Plant book. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, on Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Do not forget to leave a review. Please leave a review. It helps with placement. Listen on Spreaker. Please go to Spreaker and follow me. It just helps. And check us out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. And please leave the ad running. hey, look, if enough people watch it on YouTube and leave the ad running, if I see money coming in from YouTube, I'll buy a better camera to video. I can justify the camera. Instead of today, it's on my friggin' wife's iPad. I'm going to have to get it off really fast because she's going, what the heck is this? Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode number 74. See you next week, where we discuss Led Zeppelin 4 and Houses of the Holy, the remasters. All right, this day is finally here. And hey, keep it cool and peace.
I listen to it now, I go, whoa.